There's been many questions given to me in Prophecy Q&A as we've traveled from church to church. And we've also seen by email some of these questions come in asking about tornadoes. Are they a special judgment on the United States, for example, because of the way that we have treated Israel over the last couple of years? Well, where in the world do tornadoes come from? We were just traveling across America, came through Joplin, Missouri, saw some of the damage that had been wreaked upon this community by the terrible tornadoes hitting there. We had, of course, personally, something happen here in the Lookout Valley area. We're here at home base in Chattanooga for the broadcast today. And our daughter Jody had her home devastated with a tornado. We had a barn torn up on our property. People around the Chattanooga area, down into Alabama, into Georgia, into Mississippi. It's been terrible. So I thought I would bring somebody to these microphones who could interact with us about this a bit. I'm talking, of course, about Dr. John Whitcomb, and he and his buddy, Dr. Henry Morris, wrote a book entitled The Genesis Flood. I want to talk to John about this situation with tornadoes, but John, let me ask you, first of all, am I correct? Prior to the flood, there was no weather like this, but after the flood, that's when these types of weather activities started to take place.
That's right. Jimmy, the world changed forever at the flood. Tornadoes and hurricanes and earthquakes and tsunamis characterize the post-flood world and will continue until the kingdom comes, at which time, of course, everything again will be in perfect beauty, harmony, and restoration again. Praise God for the promise.
Yes, amen. Hallelujah for that. Well, let me then ask you, then are the tornadoes and these hurricanes and tsunamis, etc., are these coming from God?
Well, of course. Satan has very limited power to do things like this. Occasionally, like in Job chapter 1, God, of course, brought about destruction to Job's crops and herds and family to demonstrate something, not just to Satan and demons, but to the whole human race in the world, that somebody is in charge of everything. And, Jimmy, you remember, don't you, when the Genesis flood ended, which is the greatest catastrophe the world will ever know until the end, at the end of the flood, God made this amazing promise. He said, 8 things you can count on after the flood. Genesis 8:22, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. Now, of course, that means limited uniformitarianism. In other words, God can punctuate that uniform system of climate and weather with occasional catastrophes like we've seen recently in Japan and last year in Haiti and around the world at different times. And Job 38 tells us how God is ruling the world with storms and thunder and lightning. And that's a good chapter to read. God answered Job and said, who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? And Jimmy, we don't want to be making statements that aren't based on God's precious word, right? We want to say the right thing the right way.
Mm-hmm.
So that 38th chapter of Job, have you entered the storehouses of the snow? Have you seen the storehouses of the hail, which I reserve for times of distress, for the day of war and battle? Where is the way that the light is divided, or the east wind scatters on the earth? Thunder, lightning, rain, ice, snow, all that's brought out in that 30th chapter of Job as the way God rules the world today, and it's impossible to specify that storm killed that person because that person was more evil than some other person.
Mm.
No, it's impossible to make that kind of judgment. We do know that our life is very tenuous, very fragile, and we need to trust the Lord for each extra day he gives us in spite of the negative environment into which he places because of the fall and the curse.
Of course, then we can tell those who have been affected by these storms, and the fact is that God sent them along, but how would you then encourage a believer? For example, churches have been wiped out, and family members in those churches, leaders in the churches, etc. How would you step upside if you were doing pastoral responsibilities and encourage someone in light of the tragedies as they look at it today?
Yes, well, of course, tragedies that come in our lives, even the lives of Christians, of course, are an opportunity, aren't they, Jimmy, to show that God is supreme in his sovereign control of our lives, and the way we react, the respond to these things shows a lot. What an opportunity for a Christian to show we're not angry with God, we're not seeking revenge or vengeance upon nature or the world. No, God brings these things into our lives and tests us, doesn't he, that we might be able to show gracious, patient joy in the Lord in spite of all. The Apostle Paul had a life, didn't he, of affliction constantly. If we think we have affliction, Paul says, let's talk. Let's talk about affliction. Amen.
I can tell you, I've been there and I've done that before. Well, indeed, when we think about hunger across the world, spread of disease, pandemic disease, when you think about what people refer to as these natural disasters, when you think about the injustices that are happening in this world, this is just evidence we have not arrived. We're not in the kingdom. We're not going to bring about the kingdom. There's only one way that's going to happen, and that's when Jesus Christ comes back.
Pointed out when someone said, have you heard, Lord Jesus, that a wall fell on these men and they were killed? And he said, do you think they were worse than others? I say unto you, unless you repent, you will likewise perish.
Wow.
In other words, the walls are falling on everybody everywhere all the time. We're amazed. I mean, not that a wall fell down on somebody or a house was destroyed, but that we're not all destroyed.
Right.
And that's because God is long-suffering and patient, in spite of our sin, to give us life and days and yet some opportunities to reflect his glory into someone else's darkness.
To,
God help us.
Absolutely. To get our attention, to realize we're simply incapable of accomplishing anything without him. John Whitcomb, I so appreciate your insight into the Word of God, the privilege we have to be able to talk to you about some of these questions that are coming our way. So thank you, my dear friend. Have a great weekend of ministry, and we'll talk again down the way.
Thank you, Jimmy. God be with you, too.